Okay, Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, Perek Lamed. We're holding in the middle of the Perek. We're speaking about Avraham Avinu's ninth test, which was the test of sending away Yishmael and Hagar, or as we said last week, maybe it's the test of Yishmael going off the Derech, that itself was a test. So he said that before he sent them off, so he gave Hagar, he tied a sting to her, he tied a dardor to her hip, or to her thigh, or whatever, and because he wanted to be able to see which way she's going, so later on when he wants to go visit Yishmael, he'll be able to go that way. So the Shaila the Marzu asks, why Dafka? Because he wants to see Yishmael. Maybe he also wants to see Hagar. So the Marzu says, because no, he's Gufa, he's getting rid of Hagar, he's divorcing her, he's sending her away, so he's severing his relationship with Hagar for now, but he still has in mind that he wants to keep up a relationship with Yishmael, so later on he's going to visit Yishmael, like we're going to see later tonight. That's one nekuda. The other nekuda is that the dardor, the Radal says that a dardor is a type of a flask, like some sort of leather container for water, where you keep water in it. And then the Radal, that was in Eis Chav Beis. Then in Eis Chav Dalet, there's no Eis Chav Kimmel, interesting. In Eis Chav Dalet, the Radal asks, that we mean in the pasuk it says Sam al Shikhma, that Avraham Avinu gave her something and he put it on her shoulder, and here the Medrash is saying that he put it on her thigh or on her hip. So how could that be? It's either on her shoulder or it's on her hip. So why are we saying that it was on Shikhma in the pasuk? So the Radal answers that a dardur is a big flask. It was so big that it went from her shoulder to her hip, or from her hip to her shoulder, whatever, and it filled up that whole space. So the Torah says that the top of it was on her shoulder, but here the Medrash is saying that the bottom of it is on her hip. That's what the Radal says. And then I sort of looked up the Gemara that he brought down. The Gemara uses the word dardor to mean this type of container. The Gemara of Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, and also again on Nun Tes Amud Beis. And in both places, Rashi says that a dardor is a small pitcher, liginin katanim. So it's a little bit difficult to say the Radal's pshat, that it was so big that it went from her shoulder to her hip.
That's why she was very short.
Maybe she was very short, maybe. I don't know. But Rashi says that it's like a small container. So I don't know how that works with the Radal. Al-Kapanim, so Avraham Avinu sent her and Hagar and Yishmael off with this thing attached to her, and that's where they were going, into the desert, into the wilderness. Says the Medrash, "Uvizchus Avram loichosru hamayim menachemes." In the merit of Avraham Avinu, the water didn't lack from this leather flask. As long as they were walking in the desert, they still had water. The kevin shegiya b'midbar, however, once they got to this desert, hischilo toya achar avodah zarah shel beis paroi aviha. She began to stray after the avodah zarah of the house of her father Paro. Right, we said before in Perek, which Perek was it that we said that Hagar is the daughter of Paro? It was in Perek Chavav. We said that Hagar was the daughter of Paro. Actually, we didn't say it. No, we did. Yeah, Hagar was the daughter of Paro. Okay, so she started to do Avodah Zarah, right? The Medrash says, Shechazor legilulei Avodah Beis Aviha. She went back to the Avodah Zarahs of her father's household. Umiyad Chosru HaMayim Menachemes. Immediately when she started doing Avodah Zarah in the Midbar, so then the water stopped flowing from her flask, and then they ran out of water. And V'lefichach V'atashlech Es HaYeled. Therefore, she threw away the kid. She took Yishmael, who Rashi says that he was sick, he had a fever, whatever, she threw him off to the side. The pasuk says, "Tachas achad asichim," underneath one of the sichim. Maybe sichim means some sort of pit. Maybe Targum says that it's a tree. She threw him under the tree, and she sort of left him over there. And then the next two lines over here, I think, are shtickle out of place, but that's just the way it is in the Medrash. Yishmael was 24 years old when he went out of the household of Avram. And Yitzhak was 10 years old when Yishmael was sent away. A very pashut cheshbon reveals the calculation. Because we know that Yitzhak was We know that Yishmael, let's say, was 13 years old when he had his bris milah, when Avraham Avinu was 99. So the next year, when Avraham Avinu was 100, so Yishmael was 14, and that was the year that Yitzchak was born. So if we're going to say that Yitzchak was 10 years old, and this story happened, and Yishmael was 14 years older, so it makes sense that Yishmael was 24. Now, as the Marzu and the Bais HaGadol and the Radal, they all talk about this. There's different midrashim, different versions of this midrash, let's say, that say different ages how old Yitzchak was. For example, one midrash says that Yitzchak was 3 years old when this story happened. That this really is a continuation of that Avraham Avinu made a mishteh b'yom higamalas Yitzchak, which according to that midrash means Yitzchak was 3 years old. So Yitzchak was three, and that would make Yishmael. That would make Yishmael, what's it called? 3 plus 14 is 17. Right? And that's what the Yalkut Shemayni says, that Yishmael was 17 when this story happened. Another Gersel says that Yishmael was, that Yitzchak was 5 years old when this story happened. So according to that, you'll say that Yishmael was 19. Right? Another Gersel says that Yitzchak was 13. B'yom higamel es Yitzchak, according to that understanding, is that Yitzchak was bar mitzvah. So he's 13. According, if Yitzchak was 13, then Yishmael was 7. Was 27, because 13 plus 14 is 27. I'll come on to the different versions of this medrash. I have some problems over here with the Marzu, but that's more or less what it says over here. Fine, but again, I think this line over here was a shtickle out of place, because now it's going back to the continuation of the story. V'teilech v'teisa, she went and she strayed. Says the Medrash, ein v'teisa el avodah zarah. The word straying, v'teisa, is a reference to avodah zarah. D'chsiv ba, hevel hema ma'aseh ta'atuim. It says about avodah zarah, the pasuk, that it's hevel, it's futilities, and it's the actions of ta'atuim, deeds of straying. So we see that avodah zarah is kashur to straying, going off the derech. Okay, so we said that Hagar took her son and she threw him achar asichim. Yishmael's soul was very tired and thirsty. Halach, and he didn't have any kayach. So what did he do? Halach v'hishachas atzvei tachas charulei hamidbar. He went and he threw himself underneath charulei hamidbar. The Bais HaGadol says charulei hamidbar are kreitzim. It's what's it called? Thorns. The Radal says,
interesting place to throw himself.
1 second. The Radal says that charulei hamidbar is something that has shade. Basically, that Yishmael was, he realized that he was out in the sun and he didn't have kayach, so he like put himself under the way I understand it, I have to look this up, but I think that charulei hamidbar means cactus. Meaning, it has kreitzim, it's like thorns, whatever, but it's something, it's like a tree that has thorns that gives off shade also. So he went there for the shade, not for the thorns. He went there so that he can, like, you know, help rehabilitate himself. Va'amar, and he said, Ribbon Ha'ilamim, Master of the Universes, Im Yesh Lafanacha Ratzin Lahashkesi Simayim, if there's a will in front of you to give me, to quench me with water, Hashkini, V'loy Seitzei Nafshi Batzama, then please give me something to drink so that my soul won't leave it for me because of the thirst. Kimushunehi Mises Atzama, V'kashra Mikola Mises, because the death of thirst is the most gruesome. It's a very deviant, it's a weird type of death, and it's the most gruesome of all types of death. It's the worst type of death, the death of dying through thirst. The Radam is a slightly different Girsa, that Yishmael said, if you want to kill me, so kill me, but not through thirst. Just let me die somehow else. Give me water and I'll die somehow else. Just don't let me die through thirst. Here it's saying sort of like, if you want to give me a drink, so give me a drink. If you don't want to give me a drink, at least, you know, do something else so that I won't die from thirst. It's interesting, I wrote down the side that the Gemara in Brachas on Daf Chesam Aleph says that there are 903 different ways that a person can die. There's 903 different types of death. And the Gemara says that the worst of those 903 types of death is Askara. What is Askara? So Rashi explains that Askara is a type of death where like a person like chokes on himself and then like he dies. It's like some sort of sickness where a person will like choke and then he dies from himself. So that's like slightly different than the death through thirst. So either you could say that, you know, Yishmol said that death of thirst is like kasha mikol amisos, but it's not. But we're saying no. The Gemara says it's not true. Really, Askara is the worst type of death. Chari, you have to say something like that. Right. So he said this prayer to Hashem. Vishama Kadosh Baruch Hu Tfilasei, and Hashem listened to his prayer. Shinemar, as it says in the book, Vayishma Elikim Es Kol Hanar, says Hashem listened to the voice of the child. Right, and we say in other places that we're going to see later on in the beginning of Perek Lamed Beis that Yishmael is called Yishmael. The name Yishmael has to do with Hashem listening. We'll say that in the beginning of Perek Lamed Beis. Also, there's another Gemara in Brachas Daf Nun Vav Lamed Beis. The Gemara says, "Haraya Yishmael ben Avram b'chalayim." If a person sees a vision of Yishmael, the son of Avram, in a dream. So tefillas and nishmas, it's a sign to, it should be a sign to him that Hashem is going to listen to his tefillas. And the Radal points out that the Medrash here is saying that, or the Pasuk is saying that Hashem listened to the voice of Yishmael, but not to the voice of Hagar. It was Yishmael's tefillah that was answered, not Hagar's tefillah was answered. Uchsiv, when the Pasuk says, Ki Yishmael Lekim El Kol HaNar Ba'asher Hu Sham. Right? We know what the famous Joshua of Asher Husham is, that even though he's going to later go off really bad, but at this point he didn't yet, so Hashem has Rachmanis on him. Okay, so Hashem listens to his voice. V'sham niftach alem ha-be'er shenivreis b'en ha-shmashes. And at that place, Hashem opened up for them the well that was created on Erev Shabbos b'en ha-shmashes, that we spoke about in Perek Yates, right? It's a mission of us. It's from the 10 things that were created Erev Shabbos b'en ha-shmashes. One of them is the Be'er Mayim. So Hashem opened that Be'er for them. And the Radalis has an interesting idea that if you look in the Pasuk, so it says in the Pasuk, the Lashon of the Pasuk is, Vayivkach Elikim Eseinaha Vatera Be'er Mayim. Be'er Moyim. Hashem opened her eyes, and she saw that there was a well of water. So the Radal says that you could say from this pasuk that really the well, the Be'er Mayim, was actually there the entire time. It's just that they didn't see it. They couldn't see it. So Hashem gave them a special ability to see it. Then she was able to see it. The Medrash doesn't say that Hashem made it come over there. It's just that Visham Niftachalem, it opened up. But it was always there. Which is an interesting idea, that sometimes, like, when a person is looking for something or looking for a certain siyata d'shmaya, so the emes is that it's really right in front of you, it's just that you need a certain siyata d'shmaya from Hashem to realize it. Like when you're looking for a lost object, and let's say you forgot it, and you're looking all over, and then you realize, oh wait, actually it was right here, I put it in my back pocket, but it was really, I had it with me the whole time. Right. So that's not a matter of finding it, that's just a matter of opening your eyes. And they went and they drank and they filled up the flask with water. Hashem opened her eyes and she saw the Be'er Mayim, and she filled up the flask with water. That's the Lashon of the Pasuk, and she gave him what to drink. It's interesting, the Radal discusses this, that the Lashon of the Pasuk says that she filled up the flask and then she gave him what to drink. Here the Medrash says the opposite. It says that they went to drink and then she filled up the flask. The Radal discusses that difference between the expressions used over here and the expression used in the Pasuk. Fine. And they left the well over there. And then they lifted their feet. And they traversed the entire wilderness, the entire desert, actually Gil Midbar Paran, until they reached the desert of Paran, Umbatu Sham Maitsu Aymayim, And there they found the sources of water. And they settled over there. Shnemar vayeshev b'midbar Paran. It says that Yishmael lived in Midbar Paran. The lashon of the pasuk is vayeshev b'midbar Paran v'tikach lo imay isha me'eretz Mitzrayim. He lived in the land of Paran, in the midbar of Paran, the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took for him a woman from the land of Mitzrayim. Beit Hashem, will see exactly what's talking about this woman from the land of Mitzrayim. Okay. Ad kan, the story of Avraham Avinu sending off Yishmael and Hagar. Now, we could do one more line. Shalach Yishmael. Yishmael sent off, a messenger. V'lokach le'isha me'arve Ismayav ve'efa shma. Yishmael sent off a messenger, and he took for himself a woman from Arvas Mayav, a Mayavite woman, and her name was Epha. And basically, that's...
Isa, one second.
There's different gersois, we'll speak about it in a moment. But that's more or less the end of the story. And then afterwards, we're going to speak about the story of Avraham Avinu coming to visit Yishmael. Okay, so what was the name of Yishmael's first wife? So, I read Epha. In your gersa, it says Isa.
It has both?
So there's a gesa of Epha, Ayin Yud Pei Hei. There's a gesa of Isa, Ayin Yud either Samach Hei or Ayin Yud Sin Hei. There's another gesa in the Targum Yonasan, it says Adisha, Ayin Dalet Yud Shin Hei. There's different gesa, it's exactly what her name was. Was it Epha, Aisha, Aisa, Adisha? Different names that could possibly have been. The Radal brings that the Sefer Yashar says that her name was Meriva, which is a shtickle significant in the hemshich of the story, to see that her name is actually going to fit her personality. Meriva means a person who fights, and it will see that it will be congruent with who she was. But the Radal points out an interesting thing. He says, let's say, go with our gears over here. That her name was Epha.
Why variety of combination? This is. Right after her daughter's...
Wait, we didn't say she was really from Mayav. We said a woman from the plains of Mayav. So it could be plains of Mayav is a place. It's not necessarily a nation. You're right. I said a Moabite woman, but Lav Dafka is a Moabite woman. It could be just... She's from that area, which will later become the area of Mayav. Just like from Jordan or whatever. Okay, so we said that her name was Epha. So the Radal points out an interesting thing. Her name was Epha? We're going to see in the end of Parshas Chayisara, when we talk about the children of Avraham Avinu and Keturah. So Avraham Avinu had six sons with Keturah, right? Zimron, Yokshan, Midon, Midyon, Yishbak, and Shuach. And it says, Uvnei Midyon, Epha. One of the sons of Midyon, his name was Epha. So you see that Epha is a man's name. Yet over here, the Medrash is using the name Epha as a woman's name. And also the Radal brings down in Divrei Yomim Aleph, Perek Beis, it says that Epha was the name of one of the Pilagshim of Kolev. So you see again that Epha is a woman's name. So it's a shtickle stira to Parshas Chayisara, where we said that Epha was the son of Midian, and it's a man's name. So the Radal says, okay, you know, it's not so schwer, because we find certain names that are, it could be a name for a man and for a woman. Just off the top of my head, we have the name Yoina. There's men named Yoina. There's women named Yoina. Simcha. There's men named Simcha. Women named Simcha. I think there's like some sort of minhag that if you name a man Simcha, you call him Simcha Bunim.
He says me Benoy Ismayev. So I have a question on him then.
Oh, it says Benoy Ismayev.
Maybe he means from the daughters who live in the place of Ismayev.
Yeah. Here it says Me'arv Ismayev.
Like you just said.
So Lumaisa, there's an interesting Shalos Tshuvas Divrei Malkiel Mechelek Gimel Simen Ayin Hey. The Shalos Tshuvas Divrei Malkiel from the, I believe it was the Rav of Lodz. I think it was the Rav of Lodz. The Divrei Malkiel writes halacha that it's usur to use a man's name for a woman or a woman's name for a man. You have to give your kid either a man's name or a woman's name. You can't give them the opposite gender's name. Right? If you have a boy, you have to name him a boy's name. You can't give him a girl's name. If you have a girl, you have to name her a girl's name, not a boy's name. It's an interesting thing. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita, in the Sefer Time of the Kra, in Parashas Kiseitze, so he brings down this Divrei Malkiel, and he argues with it. He has a whole arichas to argue with it. He brings tons, more than 100 places in Chazal and Tanakh where we find the same name that can be used for men and for women. So he says there's no such halacha that there are certain names or that you could sometimes do it, use a woman's name for a man, and he doesn't necessarily hold of that hakpada. Fine. Let's go. Let's see the story of Avraham Avinu coming to visit Yishmael. La'achar shel yishanim, after 3 years, halach Avraham lireis es Yishmael b'nai. Avraham Avinu went to see his son Yishmael. Why after 3 years? So the Radal has an interesting shtikl Torah. Right? We have a halacha called Chezkas Gimel Shanim, that you have a person, let's call him a squatter, living on a property for 3 years. And then after 3 years, a guy comes and claims, "Hey, you're living on my, that's my house. That's not your house, it's really my house." So the halacha is, the squatter has what's called a cheskas gimel shanim, right? The third paragraph of the Basra. Cheskas gimel shanim, has a zaka. After 3 years, we can assume that it's his. And we say that he gets it. Why? Because until 3 years, the Gemara says, until 3 years, a person is going to hold on to the document, the deed, that said that he owns the house, that gives him the rights over it. After 3 years, a person is not going to hold on to the document so much anymore. So therefore, we say that that until 3 years, if you don't have the document, then it's a taina on you. And if you can't prove that it's your house, so then we can start discussing whose house it is. But after 3 years, it's not a taina on you anymore that you don't have the document, and we can assume that it's your house. So what's the Indian? So the Radal says that the Indian is that 3 years is a time of forgetfulness. And basically, he says that, we're going to see later on in Perek Lamed Beis, that after three years after Sarah died, so Yitzchak sort of got over the fact that she died. He sort of forgot about it, which is incidentally when Yitzchak married Rivka, 3 years after. Al-Kuponim, so this is after 3 years of since Avraham Avinu sent off Yishmael and Hagar, so he sort of forgot like how bad Yishmael really was. He sort of felt bad for him, so he wanted to go visit him. However, he swore to Sarah that he won't come down from the camel at the place that Yishmael is living there. Because, as the Radal explains, Sarah saw a kodesh that if Avraham Avinu would actually go and like visit the house, so when he sees Yishmael, he's gonna like mamish, or when he sees Yishmael's house, he's gonna have real rachmanas and Yishmael, he's gonna want to bring him back. And Sarah didn't want that to happen, so Sarah made him swear that he's not gonna like, it's not gonna like go visit, like make a, like a real official visit. He's gonna like, you know, drive by. It's gonna be a drive by. He's gonna stay in the car. He's gonna stay in the car. He's gonna stay on the camel. He's not gonna come down from the camel. So Avraham Avinu goes on his camel to visit Yishmael. He reached the place of where Yishmael lived at midday, at right, 12 o'clock in the afternoon. And the Radal says, it's Mamish Siyata Deshmaya that Avraham Avinu got there, Mamish, in the middle of the day. Why? Because he got there in the middle of the day, he doesn't end up seeing Yishmael. Yishmael is not home. Because in the middle of the day, Yishmael is out working or doing whatever he does. Right, so Yishmael is not home. If the Radal says that if Avraham Avinu would have gotten there like in the evening or early in the morning when Yishmael is around, and he would have actually seen Yishmael, he would have had too much rachmanus on him, and it would have been he would have brought him back and made a kair of him, and you know that's like against the nevuah that Hashem gave to Sarah that he should send her away. So it was a siyata d'Yishmael. He came mamish in the middle of the day. So he didn't find Yishmael. Umatz Hashem as ishtei shel Yishmael. He found Yishmael's wife. What was her name?
Two guesses, yeah.
Efa, Isa, Aisha, Miriva, whatever her name was, yeah. So he found Yishmael's wife. Amar la, heichanu Yishmael. He asks her, where's Yishmael? Amar la, she said to him, halachu v'imay lahavi peres tamarim min amidbar. She said that he and his mother went to go bring dates from the wilderness. Mother Adal says that dates don't grow in the wilderness. And why does it say peres tamarim, date fruits? Dates are, if dates are fruits, so just say, you know, fruits or dates. Why does it have to say both? What is the answer to that? I don't remember. Okay, whatever. The Radal talks about this. The point is that Yishmael was out. He's not home right now. Amar la, so Avraham Avinu said to her, Tini li ma'at lechem ma'at mayim. Please give me some, he doesn't say please, he says, give me some bread, a little bit of bread, a little bit of water, ki oifa nafshi miderech hamidbar, because my soul is very tired from the traveling in the desert. Amar loi, she said to him, ein lechem, ein mayim, we don't have bread, we don't have water. Amar la, so he said to her, Avraham Avinu said to her, kishiyava Yishmael, when Yishmael comes back, Tagidi loy, that's a dvirma ila. Tell him the following thing. Va'amri loy, say over to him the following thing. Va'amri loy, and you should say to him, Shabbat zakin achad me'eretz Canaan l'reizcha, that a certain old man came from the land of Canaan to see you. Va'amar, and he said, Shesaf habayis ena toiva. The saf habayis, let's call it the support pillar of your house, It's not good.
It's not good. Like the doormat kind of,
yeah? Yeah, no, the safa bayis is like, it's a pillar that sort of holds up the house.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't like at the...
No?
At the entrance of the house. Maybe. Yeah.
Miftan. I know, the Radal says miftan.
Because in the Plagish Begiva, you see that it says that she collapsed on the safa bayis and she was dead, right?
Ah, yeah, safa bayis means the entrance?
Say for Shaykh too.
Could be right. Safa bayis means the entrance. And what's a miftan?
I don't know.
Because by what's it called? By the Dagon, it says that the Dagon fell down and went to the Miftan of the temple.
It sounds like the floor.
It sounds like the floor, like the entrance of the floor. I'm not sure exactly. It could be right. I think Safa Bayis, I think it's like the threshold of the house. So he said to her that it's not good. Grata in Sefer Yashar. So there the Girsa is that he says that, you know, it's not good, and you should get a new one. You should replace it. Here it just says it's not good.
You know, you have the book in your house also, the Ishiya Tanakh.
Yeah.
I think it says that you should, in the English version, it says you should tell someone that your doormat isn't good.
The doormat. Ah, okay, fine. Okay.
Or threshold maybe.
Chashabai Yishmael, when Yishmael came, he gidolai ishtai as a davar azeh. His wife told him this thing that Avraham Avinu told her to tell him. So what happened? Shilcha, he sent her away. I didn't have to say it, but obviously the Miftan Abayis or the Saf Abayis is a mashal for the lady of the house, as the Radal says, because the woman is usually the one who's motzui in the house, she's usually the one who's more in the house more often, so she more represents the house. So I'm saying that there's something wrong with the threshold of the house. And then Yishmael understood the hint that there's something wrong with the wife, so he divorced her and got rid of her.
But Yishmael was smart.
Yeah, Yishmael, I guess, was smart. Agav, okay, whatever. Agav, I'll tell you this. Wait. Okay, there's a Gemara in the Maseches Yevamos. The Gemara on Daf Ayin Zayin says, why we say Amayne v'le Amaynis, Mayavi v'le Mayavis. Right? The Isser of Leyavay Amayne Mayavi v'kal Hashem is only a male Amayne Mayavi, not a female Amayne Mayavi. Why? Gemara says because the pasuk says Al Dvar Shalikid Boschem Alechem Uvumayim Baderech Batisam Mitzrayim. The reason why they're also Lavoy Bekal, not allowed to marry into the Jewish community, is because they didn't give bread or water to the Jews when they were coming out of Mitzrayim. Moav and Ammon didn't bring the water. And so the Gemara says that the men and the women didn't do it, right? So why only is a male Ammoni and Moavi also, not a female Ammoni and Moavi also? So the Gemara says no, because you wouldn't expect the women to come out and give bread and water. You would only expect it of the men. Because the women would say, Kol kaved bas melech pnima. The kaved of a woman is inside the house. Kol kaved bas melech pnima says that the kaved of a woman is inside the house. So we all expect the female amayim and mayavim to bring lechem and mayim. Only the males. The males didn't do it, so they're asur. The females, we didn't expect them to do it, so they're mutter. Yeah. So what do you see from this Gemara? So the Karen Ayra in the Maseches Yevamos, Daf Ayin Zayin, says, you see from this Gemara, that the assumption is that Kol Kvayda Bas Melech Pnima is not just by Jewish women, but it's also by Amani and Moaviyah's women. Right? Because they're not Jewish. We still didn't expect them to come out.
Like by the Muslim women.
Right. So like by the Muslim women. So you see that even Moaviyah's, they're connected to the house, they're not expected to come out. So, you know, we hear, if you understand that Yishmael's first wife was from Moav, you know, so Imamish makes sense. he didn't let his wife out of the house. She's the Saf Habayis. She's the whole Kuvayt Bas Melech Pnima in a way. It's an interesting
point. And if he's Yishmol, then it makes even more sense.
But, because the Arabs don't let the wives out of the house and stuff like that.
Assuming that the Arabs are from Yishmol, and not everyone agrees with that though.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll see that in the end of the parak. But, what's the other Nakuda? The Nakuda is that, what was it? There's a medrash that says that Yishai was wondering whether he's mutar bekal or not, because he thought that maybe his lineage is tainted because he's from Mayav, because his from Rus was from Mayav, right? Even though we know Mayav Yivlei Mayavis, but what was bothering Yishai? And there's also another medrash plia that says that David Melech was worried about his yichus. Like, what was bothering him? So I remember seeing a pshat. I think it's from Rabbeinu and Eibshitz, but could be from somebody else. It's in my notes in Kesubis. I didn't have a chance to look it up. But they say the vart is that the whole heter, the whole way of permitting female moyavios to Kal Hashem, is predicated on the fact that we would say kol tvoida bas melech pnima also by moyavios, right? So they ask Akasha, but by the story of Bilam, Vayiznu Bnei Yisrael Bnei Yismaya, the Bnei Yismaya took a proactive approach to Dafka trying to get Bnei Yisrael to be Nichshal. They went out and tried to get them to be Nichshal. So you see that they're not Kol Kvayd HaVas Melech Pnima. So if they're not Kol Kvayd HaVas Melech Pnima, then they should be, the women should also be expected to bring bread and water, and they didn't. So then we should ask her also the women of Mayav. So that's what they were bothered by.
You could say it's not a Raya over there.
Why?
So over there was a special command. We got to get the Jewish people out of here. So therefore, the people of Moab said, the daughters and women, you know, just for now, a special order for the time being.
You say, I hear what you're saying.
You're going to have to do like that in order that we could make the Jewish people sinuah.
You're saying in general, really, the Miami women, they were also sinuahs. Just in that situation, maybe not. Okay, could be that's the answer. So but like that was what was bothering.
Right,
that's
so the
we'll have to also, this type of thing. I hear. That could be that was, that's the answer to the question. But, yeah. Maisa the Marshal in Chochma Shlem over there, in Nivam and stuff, Ein Zayin, he lived before the Karen era, but he disagrees with the Karen era's assumption. He says, that's not Pshat in the Gemara. Don't tell me that Pshat in the Gemara is that the Gemara is expecting that Mayavi women are going to say, Kol Kveit HaBas Melech Pnima, and that's why they're not expected to give bread and water, because that's what Mechatez would just say is such an assumption.
The whole nation was founded on them doing
this. Znus, yeah. Rather, the Marshal says something that might be equally schwer, but the Marshal says that rather, because the Jewish women are going to stay in their tents, because Kol Kvayt HaBas Melech Pnima, so Mimela, who's going to give food to whom? The men are going to give food to men, and women are going to give food to women. But if the Jewish women are going to be inside their tents, and they're not going to be out on the outside, so then the Moabi women don't have anyone to give to.
So, you know, it sounds like they're not so sneers, they'll give to the men.
Yeah, in Hanami, that's why I'm saying that they might be an equally shver pshat.
I think it says before Matan Torah, Hashem sent a novi to all the nations. I'm not sure which Amun and Moab, they couldn't accept the Torah because of Znus.
Because of Znus. Well, but we also said last week that a few weeks ago there was Yishmol. There's different gestures, so that matters.
It's not clear who was.
Yeah.
Sounds like Amun and Moab were the most sneers. On the other hand, you say, could be it's not a contradiction because by the Muslim woman, they say that they make believe they're right sneeze.
Right, the Rambam, so, it's the Rambam.
So it could be the same thing by Amun and Moav. They make believe they're sneeze, that stay in the tent all day, you know, for a public show, and then when nobody's looking.
Right.
So it's not that they're sneeze and post at the same time.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's what it sounds like, yeah? Because the only nation which China sneezes is Am Yisrael. Matod Elecha Yaakov, you didn't say about any other nation.
Right. Fine. Let's go back to the story. Vishilcha Imai. So Yishmael got rid of his first wife, and his wife, his mother sent off a messenger, and she took for him another wife from the house of her father, from the house of Paro, right? Ushma Petuma, and her name was Petuma. Right? Fine. Wait 1 second. Yeah. Her name was Petuma, the second wife of Yishmael, and she was from Mitzrayim. Right? Because we said the Hagar is from Mitzrayim, and the Pasuk says, Vatikachle ima isha me'eret Mitzrayim, Bechara, Pigadeb Leazar understood that Pasuk is talking about this second wife of Yishmael, Petuma. Oid la'achar shalish shanim, after another 3 years, halach Avram liris Shmuel b'nai. Avram Avinu went again to see his son Yishmael, v'nishmol asar kefam rishayna she'in a yerin min agama b'makam she'yishmol shor yisham, and again he swore to Sarah like the first time that he's not going to descend from the camel at the place where Yishmael is living. V'higiyah l'sham, and he got there b'chatzi ha'yorim, he got there mamish in the middle of the day, again sat in the Shmayim, u'mot l'sham ishtei shel Yishmael, and he found again the wife of Yishmael. Omar lo, he said to her, heichan hu Yishmael, where is Yishmael? Omar lo, she said to him, halach hu v'imai lirais es gemalim b'midbar. He and his mother went to feed the camels in the desert, in the wilderness. Omar lo, he said to her, t'nili ma'at lechem u'ma'at ma'im, ki aifo nashi midarach ha'midbar. Give me so a little bit of bread and a little bit of water, because my soul is very tired from the traveling on the road. She took out some bread and water and she gave it to him. Omar Avraham, Avraham Avinu got up and he prayed in front of Hashem about his son. And the house of Yishmael was filled with all good from different types of blessings. It's an interesting expression. We call toiv mimin habrachos, which we also had this expression earlier. I mean, actually, it's later, but we did this last year in Perek Mem Beis when we talk about Kriyas Yamsuf, which happens to be this week's, this past this, what we read this morning in Parsha. So it has some kesher. Okay, fine. Uchashabai Yishmael. When Yishmael came, he gidalei ishtei as a dover hazev. His wife told him this. What did she tell him? So her. Here in Argit in Sefer Yashar, so the story goes that the second time Avraham Avinu tells the wife, tell Yishmael that the Saf HaBayis is good. Yosei HaOyel over in Sefer Yashar, the mashal was the what's it called, the stake of the tent is good. But over here, he didn't tell her the
camel?
Same thing.
How do you get off the camel? He told Sarah he's not going to get off the camel.
He didn't say he got off the camel.
It says Ahmad. So where do you stand exactly?
I don't know.
Maybe he stood with the camel?
Maybe
it's like he stood, like he put on the brakes?
It could be.
I mean, it doesn't mean literally he got off the camel and he stood. It sounds like he got off the camel and he stood, no?
Yeah, I don't know. Also, but so over here, he didn't tell you the wife to tell Yishmael something. So what's she telling him? So the Radal says that she's telling him the whole story, that this guy came and he wanted food and I gave him food and he got up and he started praying about you and we got all these brachas. That's what the Radal says, that's what he told her. V'yada Yishmael she'ad achshav rachmei oviv olov, and from this Yishmael knew that even until now his father has mercy upon him. Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, krachem ov al bonim, just like the mercy of a father on his sons, so to Hashem will have mercy.
It's simple. It could be that he told his new wife that don't do him other wife. That whenever this person comes to you, give him the food and the water so that we get the blessings. No, could be Yishmael.
It could be. We don't know that that's what happened. We don't know that Yishmael even chapla happened the first time. All we know is that he got a message that basically this old man from Jerusalem came and he said, get rid of the Safa. You know, the Safa bias isn't good. We don't know that Yishmael knew that that Avraham Avinu came and asked for food and she didn't give him food, and that's why he's saying.
So how here does he know that his father has mercy on him then?
Maybe here at this point he chapped. Could be that he chapped that it was his father, but he didn't chap what the story was, why his wife was bad. Just that his father came and chapped that she's bad, so he said send her away. Basically, he's telling him to send her away.
He didn't have video cameras.
He didn't chap that that what happened was that he asked for food and she didn't want to give him food or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And there's a few interesting nekudas over here. The first nekuda is like this. By the first wife, so Avraham Avinu said, give me some bread. And so Avraham Avinu said, where's Yishmael? And she said, oh, he and his mother went to bring food. Right? Went to bring tomorrow. And the second wife, he asked, where is Yishmael? And he said, oh, he and his mother went to go feed the camels. So the Radal points out there's a big difference between the first wife and the second wife. The first wife, Yishmael was so poor that he and his mother had to go out and find food. They had to go find wild dates to eat. And the second one, they were so rich that they had their own camels and they were great. They went out to feed their camels. They had money. In the first story, they didn't have money. In the second story, they didn't have money. So what's the chiluk? So the Radal says, because by the first wife, She didn't want to take in. She didn't do chesed. She didn't do achnasas orchim. Whatever she had achzorius. So therefore, they didn't have a special bracha in their house. So they were so poor that Yishmael and his mother had to go out to find food. By the second wife, who was a better wife, so the house had a special bracha that there were more matzliach. Yishmael even had camels, and he went out and he was feeding his camels. He wasn't going out to get food for himself. He had food for himself. And of course, the Radal compares this to, because he says the first wife was from Mayav. So he says, so if the first wife was from Mayav, that makes sense, because Mayavites, they didn't give food to us, to the Jews, when we were in the Midbar. So it's like, it's the same Moavia mindset. Because that doesn't really work with my answer, that it was just Arva is Mayav, but she wasn't a descendant of Mayav, because Mayav that wasn't necessarily a whole nation at that point yet. But I don't know how to deal with that. That's one point that the Radal makes. Another point that the Radal makes is like this. What were the two names of Yishmael's wives? The first one was named Aifa or Adisha or Aisha. And the second one was named Fatuma. Which happens to be that the name Fatuma or Fatima actually is a very common Arabic name. Fatima is a common name. Aisha, which was one of the Gersas of the first wife of Yishmael, is also a very common Arabic name, Aisha. And what the Radal points out, actually the Radal only points this out about the second Nukuda, but these two names actually feature prominently in the Havdil Havdil in the Quran. Muhammad Yimach Shemoy's, whatever, well we don't say Yimach Shemoy, we say Meshuggah, Oysa Meshuggah, whatever, Muhammad, so his one of his wives, I believe it was his third wife, her name was Aisha, and that was the wife that he married when she was 6 years old, and he was like over 50 or something, he was a sick man, so he married Aisha when he was like 50 and she was 6, so that's the name of his third wife, and one of his daughters, Muhammad had a daughter named Fatima. So you see over here, the Medrash is like connecting Yishmael to Muhammad or to the Arabs. Now, there's a few elements of the Quran that they say. There was this rabbi who's actually one of the early Reform rabbis named Abraham Giger. He's the one who came up with this idea that a lot of the different stories in the Quran are actually taken from Pirkei d'Eliezer. Like they mimic, mamish like mimic or copy stories from Pirkei d'Eliezer. So he wanted to say that Muhammad heard all these midrashim from Pirkei d'Eliezer and he wrote it down and came up with his own Bible, Kibiyachal, and that's where his religion came from Pirkei d'Eliezer in a way. Other scholars, Muslim scholars nowadays, they want to tie it for carrot. They know Pirkei d'Eliezer borrowed from the Muslims. Okay, I don't know. It's very hard to prove to prove in a scientific, academic way, either way. But the Radal says that, you know, for me, some people want to say that these stories were added into Pirkei d'Eliezer based on the Quran.
Muhammad, I think, brings them that Muhammad was a madman, so he used to like going to crazy like tantrums. He started like babbling away.
Yeah.
And he had a person who would describe it right then as babbling, and that's what the Quran is.
Right.
Like his mental delusion.
They say he was epileptic, and he would go into these epileptic episodes where he would like fall onto the floor and like start like muttering.
Now this, they put him in a mental home.
Yeah, vada.
And some people say he had a Jewish rabbi who gave him over some of the material.
They say that he was sort of like he used to drive caravans. So he used to have all kinds of different customers, and they would tell him all kinds of stories, and that's where he got his ideas from. So it's like, imagine, Lahavdil, yeah, you have a guy, not Lahavdil, but like, Lamashal, you have an Arab guy who's a taxi driver in Yerushalayim, and you know, all these different rabbis are telling him all kinds of interesting stories in Midrashim, and then he decides to start a whole religion based on what he heard. That's more or less the equivalent, the modern day equivalent. But Al-Kabanim, so the Radal says that some people want to tie that these stories were added on afterwards, but he disagrees with that. Liza, I would say that it could be that the names of Yishmael's wives were added on afterwards. The names were added, the name Aifa or Tum, whatever, these names were added later on. But the Etzem story is a Kabbalah from Chazal. I think that makes a lot of sense. But he says Chas v'Shalom to say that these stories were added on based on the Quran. If, you know, implying that if anything, the Quran got it from us. Okay. Another nekuda is like this. So he said the pasuk says Vayeshev Midbar Parah and Vatikach Le'imai Isha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Right, his wife took him, his mother took him a wife from the land of Mitzrayim. So we hear in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, it's evident that his first wife is from Moab, and the pasuk that says that his wife, his mother took him away from Eretz Mitzrayim, that's talking about the second wife, that she's from Mitzrayim. Yeah. Now in Sefer Yoshur, it says the opposite. It says that the first wife was from Mitzrayim, and the second wife, it doesn't say that she was from Moab, it says that she was from Canaan. So Sefer Yoshua understood that Vatikach Le'imai Isha Me'eretz Mitzrayim is going on the first wife, not the second wife. It brings the same story, it just the what, which one is Merubah in the pasuk is the first wife or the second wife. That's Machlokes between Sefer Yoshua and Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. Now, there's a very interesting medrash over here. I don't know if it's a medrash. It's a Kabbalah sefer called Kesem Paz from Rabbi Shimon Lavi. If I'm not mistaken, this Rabbi Shimon Lavi is one of the early Mekubal who wrote a famous song called Bar Yochai Nimshach Tashrecha. I believe he wrote that song. Am I right?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure. Okay, I'll go put it. I think that he was the one who wrote this. So I have this sefer here called Malachi Elyon from Reuven Margolis, which is like an encyclopedia of different types of like angels and shadim and whatnot. So he's talking about the Gemara in Psachim. The Gemara in Psachim, Daf Kuf Yud Beis, Umid Beis, the last parak, the Gemara says that a person shouldn't go out alone at night, not on the Wednesday nights, and not on Friday night. Wednesday night really means Tuesday night, because that's Wednesday, and not on Leil Shabbos, which is Friday night. A person shouldn't go out alone Tuesday night and Friday night. Why? Because it says that there's this evil spirit named Igeres Bas Mochlas, and she has 1,800,000 damaging angels at her call, and they go out and they damage people. They have power, they have reshus to give people tzaros. That's what the Gemara says.
When?
What? If you go out at night alone on a Tuesday night or a Friday night.
I thought they said nowadays these things don't operate anymore.
Okay, one second. So the Gemara says, there's a whole hemshich in the Gemara and the place can talk about all these different things.
So if you don't worry about it, it doesn't affect you.
That's another thing that they say. I'll put it in the Gemara says like this. Really, in the beginning, this Igeres Bas Mochlas, she and her dominions would go out and damage people every night, every day of the week. But what happened was, one time she went out and she was gonna go damage this guy. And who was it? Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa. Now you don't. The Gemara says in Brachas, you don't mess with Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa.
Pesachim brings this down, yeah.
What?
Avi Pesachim brings this down.
Yeah, come on, Arvid Psachim.
Oh, remember, we went
to so she goes to Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa, and she says to Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa, if you weren't the guy that they're calling about him in Shemayim, announcing in Shemayim, that you know he's a big Talmud Chacham, and you'd be careful from his Torah and from his powers, I would come and damage you, and you'd be in Sakana. That's what she said to him. And he said to him, oh, if I'm so chashem in Shemayim, then I'm going to make a gzera that you should never come to where people are anymore. And she says to him, no, please, I beg of you, give me at least some space that I can go out where people are around or whatever. So he says, okay, fine. Tuesday night and Friday night, I'll let you go out. But the rest of the week, you're not allowed to go out and damage people. That's the Gemara. This a bit of the exchange between this this lady, this I guess she's some sort of shade, named Igeres Bas Mochlas and Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa.
Why did he give her even two nights?
Okay, I don't know. But there's a lot of things you can ask about this. That's the Gemara in Psachim. Now, this Rabbi Shim Lavi, it's brought in the Sefer Malachi Elyon on page Reish Dalid. He brings like this. He says, I'll read you the Lashon. Should I read you the Lashon?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? Matzasi Kasuf, I found that it's written, Ki Chacham Echad B'Chachmas HaKishuf Yotz Me'eretz V'Sayim L'Hisbaited B'Midbar. There was once a wise man who was well versed in the Chachma Sakishuf, in the Chachma of witchcraft. He came from Mitzrayim and he wanted to his Bididus in the Midbar. He was a breast for, I don't know. Stop. And he found a cave. And there was a book that was hidden there from the early days of the year, ancient days, from the time of the Migdal Bavel, from when people were split around the world, and from that he learned all his wisdom and the deep hidden things. And he started acting, you know, with based on those chachmas and that witchcraft. Until there was nobody like him in the entire land of Mitzrayim, and in all the Khartoumim of Mitzrayim, there was nobody like him who was mamish expert. The Amr, when they said about him, he had a daughter. And she learned from these types of chachmas and kishuf, she learned from her father. And the continuation is, Yishmael midbar Paran, when Yishmael went to the midbar Paran, Yishmael married this woman. And she got Yishmael, she made him stray with her witchcraft.
This was Fatima?
One second. She made him stray with her witchcraft. Avram of Aviv Hifrishay Mimena. Until Avram of his father came and he separated her from him. Vinisharam Uberis, and she was left pregnant. Vyalda Basiofa Admaid, and she gave birth to a very beautiful daughter. V'amru, and they said, Ki Sham Ba'is Emidbar Mimuna Sar Achad Agar Siel Shmai. In that desert, there was a guy, a certain Sar, Shade. There was a certain Shade whose name was Agar Siel. And he was drawn to that daughter, Venus Abram Imenu Vyolda Bas, and he impregnated her, and she gave birth to another daughter, Vima Kara Igeres. And her mother, Machlas, who was the mother of, who was the daughter of Yishmael, she called the name of this daughter Igeres, Al Shem Hashed Aviha, as after the name of her father, who was that Shade, whose name was Agarsiel, Aleph Gimel Reish Tav Yud Aleph. So Yud Aleph Lamed. So she named her her daughter from that Shade Igeres. Vizohi Igeres Bas Machlas Bas Yishmael. That's referring to this woman named this powerful Shade named Igeres Bas Machlas Bas Yishmael. Shekama Revoves Malchil Chavala Hochim Laragla. That several many thousands, hundreds of thousands of damaging angels follow her feet, meaning they listen to her command. Okay, that's the story. Agav, the pasuk talks about someone named Machlas Bas Yishmael who married Esav. But here's the thing, that this lady Machlas Bas Yishmael was the daughter of Yishmael. She ended up being impregnated by this Shade, and she had a daughter who was like this powerful Shade commander or whatever.
The daughter wasn't a human daughter then?
She wasn't a human. No, she was like from the Malachi Chavala, like some sort of Shade or something like that. The point is that from this thing, from Shimon Lavi in Kesem Paz, I don't know where he gets it from, but what you see from it is that Yishmael's first wife was the one from Mitzrayim, like Sefer Yashar, which is interesting, and she's the one that Avraham Avinu had separate from her. It's interesting. Stop. Not like Pirkei Deblez, more like Sefer Yashar. The first wife was the one from Mitzrayim, and that's the one that Avraham Avinu separated, made him separate from. Fine. Let's go weiter, yeah? Va'achar misosah shel Sarah, after the death of Sarah, chazar Avraham v'lokach asmu shasei. After the death of Sarah, Avraham Avinu went back and he remarried the woman whom he divorced. The Radal says that even though he had a mitzvah, the Hashem said, listen to whatever Sarah says, that you should send away Hagar and Yishmael. But the Radal says that was only as long as Sarah is alive. But once Sarah is dead, so then that mitzvah that Hashem said you should listen to Sarah is no longer in effect. So Avraham Avinu went back and he married Hagar again. How do we know that? Shneamar, it says in the pasuk, Vayayasef Avraham added, Vayikach Isha Ushmach Keturah. And he took a woman and her name was Keturah. V'lama Vayosef Avram. Why does the Pasuk say, and he added? What's the adding? He married another woman. What does it mean he added? Rather, the Pshat is, one time she was his wife. And again, he was Maisef. He added he came back to her. Or he added having, again, he had relations with her. I'm not sure exactly how to read it. Al-Kapanim, that's the way the Medrash understands the Pasuk. That Keturah is another name for Hagar. And again, and it says Vayikach, it's a lashon of, we know that Vayikach is a lashon of Kidud. So the Radal says that, you know, earlier in the parak we were saying that he divorced her. So how do we know that he gave her a get? So he's saying, well, we know that he gave her a get because later when he remarried her, he had to do a new Kiddushin because this is Vayikach. And Vayikach is a lashon of Kiddushin. That's one nekuda. The Radal says the other nekuda is that we know it's Machlekes Rishonim. What exactly is the pasuk calls her a Pilegesh, right? She was a Pilegesh. So what's the gather of a Pilegesh? Is a Pilegesh with Kedushin without a Ksuba, or is it even without Kedushin? So here it would suggest that Pilegesh is Dafka with Kedushin, I guess, with Kedushin and not a Ksuba. It's both like a Rishonim and a Rishami that says that Pilegesh is with Kedushin but doesn't have a Ksuba, etc. Okay, so I mean, you obviously know this because I know you mentioned this before, that there's a Medrash that says that Keturah is from Bnei Yefes. Bnei Yefes.
Seder Doris mentioned.
Seder Doris brings such a thing, that Keturah is from Yefes, so that it would come out that Avraham Avinu had three wives, Sarah, Hagar, and Keturah, and Sarah is from Shem, Hagar is from Cham, and Keturah is from Yefes. But obviously the Medrash over here is going with the Mahalach, that Rashi says in Chumash, that Keturah is the same person as Hagar.
Seems to be the consensus.
Yeah. Ushma Keturah, and her name was Keturah. Why is she called Keturah? Because she was adorned with all kinds of nice, good smelling spices. Another explanation. Keturah, why is she called Keturah? Because her deeds were nice like Keturah, like incense. Keturah is from the Lashon of Keturah. Rashi in Chumash brings this pshat down. Rashi says another pshat, that Keturah is like Lashon Aramis. In Lashon Aramis, Keturah or Ketira means tying. So Rashi says that she tied up her opening so that no man would have relations with her from the day that she separated from Avraham Avinu till the day that he remarried her. V'yaldoloi shisha vanim. She gave birth for Avraham Avinu six sons. Their names were Zimran, Yokshan, Midon, Midyon, Yishbak, and Shuach. Those are the names. She never says a pasuk about Tehiloloi as Zimran, as Yokshan, etc. That's a pasuk. Mefarish pasuk. Now, it says the Medrash. Ki isha shi miskareshes mipailo. Like a woman who is being divorced from her husband. Kach amad Avraham v'shilchan me'al Yitzchak b'nai. So to Avraham Avinu got up and he sent away the sons of Keturah from upon Yitzchak. Bo'elam hazeh uva'elam haba. In this world and in the next world, right? We said before that Avraham Avinu wanted to separate their fates, that they're not Tali Zebes anymore. Shneema says the positive Pilagshim Ashala Avraham, and to the sons of the Pilagshim that were to Avraham, not son of Avraham Matanois, Avraham Avinu gave them presents. Right? And we know, I mean, it says Vaishalchem al Yitzhak Binoi by Den Ochai, he sent them from upon Yitzhak his son while he was still alive, Kedba Laretz Kedem, eastwards to the land of the east. I think we spoke about this last week, right? That what were the presents? So, if we say, I think Rabbi Menashe asked this last week, how could Avraham Avinu give these presents to these kids if Avraham Avinu already gave to Yitzhak everything that he owned? So, I would say that that's what tells Rashi that these presents are not physical presents, but Rashi says it was Shemais of Tuma that he gave over to them.
In the Yishai, what's his name? Yishai, whatever his name is.
Eli Yishai?
No, Yishai. I see that. No, Tanakh person.
Yishai Tanakh, yeah.
What's his name?
Chassida, right? Gad Chassida, maybe?
I don't remember his name, but he mentions down that he brings in, yeah, he brought in the names of Kishuf.
Yeah, names of Kishuf Rashi.
Personalities of Tanakh.
Yeah. Okay. So he sent them with a get gerushin. But Yishalchem al Yitzchak b'nai, but get gerushin. With a document of divorce. It's a little bit shver to say that get gerushin over here means a document of divorce, because you don't divorce your kids. You divorce your wife, you don't divorce your kids. So the Radal says it's lav dafka. If you also send, you give a get shichrur to your slaves, but that also doesn't apply because they weren't slaves, they were b'nai action. So he says Radal is talking about a shtar daisiki, which if I'm not mistaken is like a shtar that like a father could write like who he wants to yarshin him or something like that. I don't know.
You could write a kid out of the will.
Yeah. Okay, let's go right there. Al Shem Binoi Shel Yishmoel Kedar Nikru Binei Kedar. That's the proper gersa, as the Radal says it. The sons of Keturah are going to be called Bnei Kedar after the son of Ishmael, whose name was Kedar, right? Ishmael had a bunch of sons, and one of Ishmael's sons was B'chor Ishmael Nevoyes, V'Kedar V'Adbel Mibsam. Right? So Ishmael had a son named Kedar, and the Medrash here is saying that the descendants of Keturah are called Bnei Kedar, the named after the son of Ishmael, whose name was Kedar. Shnemar, it says the Pasuk, L'Kedar L'Mabuch Yis Chatzor. Right, so the Medrash, basically the way the Radal explains it, the Medrash is saying that because the daughter, the descendants of Keturah mixed into the Bnei Yishmael, so they were called after the descendants of Yishmael. So even though they're Bnei Keturah, but we're going to find that Bnei Keturah are also referred to as Bnei Yishmael.
Yes, they got the same father, same mother, Keturah and Hagur.
Okay, yeah, you can say it like that. But so for example, so over here the Medrash is giving an example that we find that sometimes Bnei Keturah are called Bnei Kedar because Yishmael had a son named Kedar, and we're gonna ascribe the Bnei Keturah to this son of Yishmael named Kedar. Another place where we find this, the Radal brings a few examples, but we'll just say one more example, is that Yosef HaTzadik was sold to the Midianim, and then it says Archas, but it says earlier it says Archas Yishmaelim. So what were they? Were they Midianim or were they Yishmaelim? So the Ibn Ezra says that we could call Yishmaelim Midianim, because even though Midian is one of the sons of Keturah and Yishmael is the son of Hagar, and it's like, you know, it's like a different family. No, we're gonna say that it's like it's one big family, and they're all the names are interchangeable.
Find himself as Reftim by Gideon after he got the kings of Midian. It says Ki Yishmaelim him.
Oh, they were Yishmaelim. Yeah. So you find that we can use the terms interchangeably.
But about Yosef, some people say that literally Yishmaelim and Midianim.
There are different nations. There's Midianim, Midanim, because we know that Avraham Avinu had a son named Midan and Midian, different sons of Yishmael, of Keturah. So yeah, there's different, but the Ibn Ezra says that it's all one. You're right. There's a whole story that, you know, he was sold by this, and then they sold him to this. And I don't remember exactly the order, but you're right. There is such a mahalach in the Rishonim. Fine. It's talking about Bnei Keturah, because it says Mamluchis Chatzor, and the Radal says that Chatzor are people that lived in Arabia. Okay, fine. This idea that Bnei Keturah got mixed into Bnei Yishmael actually has an interesting nafkamina halacha l'maisa. Halacha l'maisa. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Nun Tes Amid Beis. The Gemara is mavur that there's a chi of bris mila on Bnei Keturah. That's mavur. Now there's different ways in the Rishonim of how to exactly understand what the Gemara means. Rashi explains that because Avraham Avinu got the mitzvah of bris mila before he had the sons of Keturah, so Hashem told him that, you know, all of your kids, you have to give them a bris. So Yishmael, who was born beforehand, Hashem gave him like a special, you know, a special commandment to give Yishmael a bris, because he's like, He was from before the commandment. But afterwards, everyone who's born to Avraham Avinu needs a bris. So Yitzchak gets a bris because he has born to Avraham Avinu afterwards. Bnei Keturah, the six sons that Keturah gave birth to for Avraham Avinu, so they got Avraham Avinu was bukhet to give them a bris because they're sons of Avraham Avinu. But Rashi understands that the descendants of the Bnei Keturah, Avraham Avinu's grandkids and great-grandkids, whatever, they don't need a bris. It was just his literal sons, not his descendants. That's Rashi's Shita. Tesis Rashi, Mesechta Sanhedrin, understands that no, all the Bnei Keturah, all their descendants, they all are chayiv in the midst of Bris Mila, but the limitation is that it was only until Matan Torah. From Matan Torah and onwards, the midst of Bris Mila is only for Bnei Yisrael and not for Bnei Keturah. That's Tesis Rashi. The Rambam understands, no, he understands it. No, Bnei Keturah are chayiv in the midst of Bris Mila forever. All of them forever. Not only that, the Rambam, Hilchos Melachim, Perek Yud, Halacha Zayin, Halacha Ches, Rambam takes it a step further. He says, and nowadays that the Bnei Keturah got all mixed up with the Bnei Yishmael, so they're all Chayiv in Bris Mila. Famous Rambam, that they're all Bnei Keturah and Bnei Yishmael, all of them are Chayiv in the midst of Bris Mila. That's what Rambam says.
And he says, Ve'inu Nirgunolav.
Oh, Ve'inu Nirgunolav. The Shaila is, what does it mean, Ve'inu Nirgunolav? There's a big Shaila, you know this, you know the raid. There's a big Shagas Ariyeh. Shagas Ariyeh Simin Mem Tes about this. The Rambam. What does it mean, Ein Erogen Lav? Does it mean that let's say you find a person who's Vadeh from Bnei Keturah and they don't do Bris Mila. So they're mechuyev to do it, but if they don't do it, they don't get killed for not doing it. You usually mitzvahs b'nei noach, if you don't mekayim the mitzvahs b'nei noach, you get killed. But this mitzvah, they don't get killed. Or is the kavanah of the Rambam that no, really, if you have a person who's vadei b'nei ketura, they're chayiv in milah, and if they don't do it, they can get killed. But since nowadays all the b'nei ketura got mixed into the yishmal, and everyone's chayiv misafik, so therefore you don't get killed. Is that what's the pshat in the Rambam? So the Shagazari discusses this. It's an interesting raid. Al kolponim, so maybe that's why the Arabs have a mesir. Maybe they're putting ketura, the bnei shmol, whatever it is. But that's why they do bris milah, because that's, you know, that's the halacha.
Like all the Muslims, even if they're not Arabs, they do it.
All the Muslims, yeah.
Even if a European becomes a Muslim,
we'll say that. But we know that the Muslims come from Arabs.
No, because a lot of, like, the Iranians are not Arabs.
Right,
they're Turkish.
Iranians are actually Aryan.
Yeah, they're Pakistanis.
The name Iran is like Aryan, whatever. But yeah.
They're related to the Russians, I think, the Iranians.
Yeah.
And the Pakistanis are for sure not Arabs. The Afghans are not Arabs.
Right, they're like Indian or something, you know?
It's a more mixture Christian. Of different nations of B'nai Yefes, I think. All the stands are, I think, are Yefes. Every nation has a stand at the end.
Yeah?
I think B'nai Tugam or different nations.
Okay, weiter. Vakedma, one of the sons of Keturah. One of the sons of Keturah was Kedma. No, one of the sons of Yishmael was Kedma, right? B'chay Yishmael nevoyah zekedah adbel mivsom v'mishma v'duma v'masah chadad v'sema yitur nafish v'kedma. The last son of Yishmael is named Kedma. V'kedma nikru v'nei kedem. The descendants of Kedma are called B'nai Kedem. Shinemra says the Pasuk, Eila B'nai Kedem. Now you go find a Pasuk that says Eila B'nai Kedem. There's no such Pasuk. And the Radal discusses that. Fine. Al Shem. Now it says the Medrash. Al Shem Shoyoshu B'chuzas Kain Nikru'u B'nai Kain. Because the descendants of Yishmael lived in the property of Kain, therefore they are called sons of Kain. Where do you get that from? B'chever Hakeni Nifrat Mikain. Chever the Kenite, he separated himself from Kain and he was living in a tent and he had a deal with Yovin Melech Knan. And when Sisera was running away from the war, he found what he thought he would be finding refuge in the tent of Yael Eshes Chever Keni, because the Kenim were separated. And Chever is a Keni. That's why, as we read this
and
morning,
he found the refugee at the peg of the tent. Found the refugee inside. So he did find the refugee.
What? Yeah.
So the good refugee, no?
Yeah. So for some reason, and I don't know exactly why, but for some reason, the Medrash is assuming that Chever HaKeni is a descendant of Yishmael.
I thought that also Bnei Yisrael, I think.
Yeah, I'm saying Chazal other places tell us that Keni is another name for Yisrael.
So Yisrael comes from Midian, and yeah, Midian mixed into Yishmael, so it makes sense.
Maybe that's the part?
Just kind of steal.
I didn't think about that. Okay, fine, you're right. You're probably right. I came up with the whole Shtikal Torah because, like, I decided that the Pshat is because Yael lived in a tent, she didn't live in a house, and we know that Oyele Kedar is the people from Kedar, which are Bnei Yishmael, whatever, they live in tents. So I wanted to say some Shtikal Torah like that. But you're probably right, that Keni is Yisrael, and Yisrael is from Midian, and therefore Chaver Keni is from Midian.
It's interesting that Talmud Yerushalmi, you know, the Bnei Chum in Parshas Noach.
Yeah.
So he says that Bnei Kush, he says as Aravim.
Oh, so
it sounds like Kushim are called Aravim, which are literally Bnei Chum. So Aravim existed way before Yishmael, according to that.
It could be.
And they lived like in.
I mean, we said that Avraham Avinu, in the beginning of Parshas Vayera, when the three angels came to visit him, so he thought that they were Aravim, and that's why he wanted them to wash their feet, because Aravim worshipped the dust. I believe that's the Lashon of Rashi. Kosovar, Rashi is a Kosovar Shem Aravim, Shemishachalim La'avak Raglehem.
It sounds like it's Bnei Kush.
Bnei Kush, I don't know.
According to Targum Yishalmi, and the Bnei Yishmael, probably, you said in your book that Yishmael went to Arabia, right?
Right.
So it sounds like Yishmael and Bnei Keturah mixed in with the Arabs.
With Arabs,
and
yeah.
And because Yishmael is special bracha, they have a lot of descendants, they became the royal leader, probably, no?
Maybe, and they became the dominant.
Yeah, because Kush didn't have a bracha like that.
Right.
So Yishmael, they became like, they outnumbered them and they mixed in with them, so they're all called Arabs, even if they're not from Yishmael.
Yeah, but I also read in the book that Kush went out to Africa, so you have to know.
You know, it could be that the family got mixed up. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, how do you say, broken up?
Broken up.
like one, Cush had probably many sons, you know?
Yeah.
Some went to Ethiopia, probably, which is Cush. Some went, became Arabs, you know, they traveled around, and some went to other places, no?
Yeah, I don't know.
Probably they broke up.
So the Medrash is saying over here that the descendants of Yishmael are called Cain because they lived in the area of Cain.
Where is that?
Says the Medrash. V'aloi kol b'nei Cain nifredu b'dor ha-mabul. Didn't all the descendants of Cain, weren't they nifredu b'dor ha-mabul? Weren't they destroyed in the Dor ha-mabul? That's what the Yabit explains the word nifredu. Radal is different, because nichrasu b'dor ha-mabul. Alpi Rabbeinu b'chayim parashas Balak. They were just cut off in the Dor ha-mabul. So we're talking about b'nei Cain, Caini, nifred m'Cain. Ela, al-shem sh'yashua b'chuzas Cain, nikru b'nei Cain. Because they lived in the land of Cain, they're called b'nei Cain. Shemar, it says in the pasuk. In Parshas Balak, this is the Nevuah of Bilam, Ki im ye levoyer koyin, because Cain is going to come to destroy. Ama Ashur tishbeka, until how much are they going to capture Ashur? So you see that the assumption here is that Yishmael is going to capture Ashur. And here the pasuk is using the word Cain to refer to Yishmael, even though we know it's not literally Cain, because Cain and all his descendants were wiped out in the Mabul, right? So it has to be, for some reason, we're going to call Yishmael Cain. Why do we call Yishmael Cain? It must be because they lived in the place of Cain.
So Cain was by Saudi Arabia then?
That's what it seems to be saying. The Radal says that it brings from a few Zayars, that it's Mavur and the Zayar and a few places that the Cainim got took certain parts of, like, the neshamas of Cain. I don't know all these things in Kabbalah, but like they have some sort of Kabbalistic kesher to Cain, not necessarily a geographic kesher to Cain. Fine, let's go back to it. Ashur Mizarei Shel Yishmael. Ashur was a descendant of Yishmael. Here Miyashbizu Mamalchais Ashur. They're gonna take over and settle the land, the kingdom of Ashur. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever, because we know that Ashur is one of the sons of Shem.
There's a different Ashur. Could be a few Ashurs, no?
It could be, but Pashas, it doesn't make sense. So the way the Radal reads it is that basically he takes out the first word Ashur. Take out the first word Ashur. Let's read it again. Mizarei shel Yishmael, from the descendants of Yishmael, hem yashbisus mamalchais Ashur. They're going to uproot the kingdom of Ashur. The descendants of Yishmael are going to uproot the kingdom of Ashur. And that is a nevuah.
It's like in Iraq, yeah?
That is a nevuah that the Pirkei Blazer is saying that was talking in the sky. Right? Iraq, he actually mentions that the caliphate started in Baghdad. The center of the caliphate was in Baghdad. When they were at their spitz, right? Arabian tales, whatever, that's Baghdad. And we know Nineveh is like the capital of Ashur. That's the Arab city of Mosul, right? The Arabs destroyed, the Muslims, Mamish destroyed Nineveh and built a city right next to it called Mosul. I forgot to bring my map, but...
So the Arabs destroyed all these countries over there.
Yeah, so that's Iraq. That's like the area of Iraq and Syria or whatever. That's ISIS. No, but that's what's it called? That's Yishmael destroying Ashur. But Ashur is like also like you have the there are still people that call themselves Assyrian. They speak certain dialects of Aramaic and Syriac or whatever. And ISIS and Mamish going and fighting them right now. This is Mamish the Kim of the Nevoah of the Pirkei Eliezer. Amar Bilam. Bilam said, "Mishivim l'shemi shivorek yishbochel ba'ilomai." From all the 70 nations, that literally means languages, but it means the nations. All the 70 nations that a Kodesh Baruch Hu created in his world, loy. Some Shemai Ella Li Yisrael Uli Yishmael. That's the gift of the Radal Alpi Rabbeinu B'chai. He only Hashem, of all the 70 nations of the world that Hashem created, he didn't put his name on any of them except for on Yishmael and Yisrael, which is very schwer. One second, but it's very schwer because how do you count the 70 nations? I don't know how to count the 70 nations. It's one of my side projects working on making a cheshbon of the 70 nations, but none of the cheshbonos include Klal Yisrael, and none of them include Yishmael either.
I don't think it's a contradiction.
I don't know if it's a contradiction. It's just an expression.
What I'm trying to say is that
from everyone in the world,
within the 70 nations, not any one of them has killed.
Ah, okay.
But who does?
But who does? Yishmael and Yisrael, even though they're not from the 70 nations, it could be.
I mean, the 70 nations weren't zochet to what they have.
So the point is that Hashem put in the word kill, which refers to the power of Hashem. Kel is the name of Hashem. or ale or whatever, he gave that as part of the name of Yishmael and part of the name of Yisrael. Right? And we'll see also again in the beginning of Perek Lamed Beis where we discuss the name of Yishmael, what that has to do with Hashem listening to Tefillah. But we see here that there's a common factor in the name of Yisrael and in the name of Yishmael, but that they both have the element of Kel in it. It's called a theophoric element in fancy English. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it equal the name of Yishmael, made it equal to the name of Yisrael, Oy mi yichye b'yamav, woe upon he who's going to live in the days of Yishmael. When Yishmael is going to dominate the world, it's going to be mamish kefela. Woe upon him. Shneamar, Oy mi yichye misumoy kel. Woe upon he who's going to live misumoy kel, from the one upon whom it was put upon him, kel. Meaning Yishmael. Who's going to, woe upon the one who's going to live in the time of Yishmael. That's Bilam giving his Nevuah of what's going to be Ba'achris Hayamim. Fine. Rabbi Shmuel Oimer. Rabbi Shmuel says, this is the end of the parak. Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, Chamisha Sor Dvorim Asidim in Yishmael Lasus Ba'aretz Ba'achris Hayamim. 15 things the descendants of Yishmael are destined to do in Eretz Yisrael in the end of days before Mashiach comes. Now some of these things are like really random and weird things. But the Marzu says, of these 15 things, some of them are good, some of them are bad. So we're going to go through the 15 things with what the Radal adds to it. How the Radal explains it. These are the 15 things. They're going to measure Eretz Yisrael with ropes. Meaning, they're going to calculate exactly how much is how big Eretz Yisrael is in order so that they could get taxes from the people that live there. Fine. And they're going to turn the Beis HaKvaras into a place of garbage, a garbage dump for the ashpa of their
Things
tzayin.
Already happened.
Yeah, and the Marzu says that they're going to dafka just like lahachas to get people upset.
When 19 years that Jordan was ruling over East Jerusalem, they took Har Zeisim and they turned
And they're going to have measuring from them and upon them on the tops of the mountains. The Radal says that they're going to build different towers and stuff for themselves to be able to rule over Eretz Yisrael.
So they have a mosque, a tower.
But they're not going to use the people of Eretz Yisrael to build it. Rather, they're going to have their own people build it. So they won't be giving business to the Jews, I guess. Vir b'hasheker, there's going to be a lot of falsehoods. That's the UN. Vatigres HaMS, and they're going to push away the truth, right? Like Noik Separa, the people that put lachat. V'yirchak chayk miYisrael, and they're going to make far away. They're going to distance the chayk from Klal Yisrael. Ranzul says they're going to make it that they're not going to let the Jews keep the chukei Torah. They're not going to let them keep the Torah. V'yirba avonis biYisrael, and not only that, but they're going to make many the sins in Klal Yisrael, meaning they're going to force people to do averas. Now this is a weird one. Shani telas katsemer. Red dyed wool is going to be like wool. Or batsemer is going to be in wool. I don't know what that means. But the way the Marzu explains it is shani telas is referring to silk. Shani telas is like silk. It comes from a worm. And basically what they're going to do is they're going to add silk to wool to make the price of wool go up. Not sure what that nukud is. V'kamel hanayar v'alkulmus, and paper and the pen or the kulmus, the writing utensil, are going to be broken. The Radal says, the Marzu says, what that means is that because everything is going to be prone to sheker and lying and untrustworthiness and sheikhad and these type of things, so therefore writing down documents won't mean anything. It'll just be sheker. I'll buy a property from you, and we'll write down a document and saying that I'm buying it or whatever, and it's nothing. You just break the paper or break the pen because the paper doesn't
mean anything. All the agreements between Israel and the Palestinians.
Yeah. V'pasel sela malchus, and the sela of the malchus, the coin of the previous reigning kingdom, will become pasel, and you won't be able to use that currency anymore, and it'll cause a great loss to the people living in the land.
Also,
Yeah.
When the Turks get out of here, and their currency became invalid.
When the lira.
And about the things that they caused, when they sold duaveros, also when the Turks hit the Muslims, they, you know, a lot of cities, you know, Jewish people, you know, they forced all kinds of things upon them.
Yeah.
Everything it says here already came true hundreds of times in the Rambam already.
Yeah. Vivna se'orim ha'chareves, and they're going to build the cities that were destroyed. That sounds like a good thing. Fano hadrachim, and they're going to pave the roads.
So they're doing here, you see them?
Yeah. That's a tsiena. Vivna guinness upardes. Oh, you're saying the tsiena. We're going to pave the roads through the
Ishmaelim. Yeah, the Arabs are the ones doing it. You see Jewish people doing
it. And they're going to plant.
You haven't seen the building cities. Look at the city over here. They have cities all over the place.
They're going to plant part gardens and orchards.
But also the very agricultures.
Right. And they're going to fix up the pirtzes, the holes in the walls of the Beis HaMikdash.
So they built a beautiful building in Har Avais.
Well, that's the next one. V'yivnu vinyan b'heichal. They're going to build a building on in the place of the heichal. And the Marzu says that that the Arabs built a building on the place of the Beis HaMikdash. So these are the 15 things that the Arabs are destined to do before Achris Hayamim. In Eretz Yisrael.
But the walls also, they helped with the walls. You know, like the Kaiser was discovered by an Arab Pasha, I think, you know?
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. You know the story is a garbage dump the Romans turned into. So he told me he threw a whole bunch of coins on the ground and says, whoever digs it up is going to get coins. You know the story?
Ah, yeah?
Yeah.
Interesting.
The story was that the Romans, they wanted to forget that it ever belonged to Jewish people, so they called the whole area Palestine, right?
Right.
It's interesting, the Muslims were against going to Palestine at that point. They said, no, it's the Holy Land, right?
Yeah.
And it's a Kodesh. Yeah. Only the Romans called it Palestine.
Right.
And then afterwards, he went to Jewish people to get, they couldn't get rid of the Kaisel as much as they tried. So he told people that there's a law, everyone has to throw garbage in this place over here. So they threw so much garbage that the Kaisel got buried underneath a mound of garbage.
Ah.
And then later on, a Pasha came to Eretz Yisrael and he noticed that there's something sticking out. He noticed like a few stones. He said, this must be the Kaisel. So he wanted to reveal it. So what he did a few nights in a row, he dug underneath it and he scattered coins, gold coins underneath. And then he told people the announcement to make, there's gold coins underneath. Whoever digs is going to find them. So a whole bunch of Arabs came and started digging. They fell gold coins. And each layer, each night after a few layers, he added a few more gold coins. They dug until they revealed most of the Kaisel that we have today. So you see that he built the
walls.
So all these.
Where did you see the story about that?
I don't remember exactly.
Interesting. All right, let's just finish it off. I don't really understand the rest of this medrash, but we'll see. Maybe it just didn't happen yet.
That also happened. The Shiites and the Sunnis.
The two brothers are going to come up, and they're going to be the princes in the end. And in their days, the Tzemach, the growth, the son of David, meaning Mashiach, is gonna stand up. Shemar says, "V'yomei and di malchaya inun yikim eloka shemaya malchu di la'almin lo siskabel." Fine. V'oyer Rabbi Shmuel, Loimer Rabbi Shmuel also used to say, "Sholish milchamish shel muhuma asidim bnei Yisrael lasis ba'aretz ba'achris hayomim." The descendants of Yisrael are destined to make three wars of muhuma, of like destruction and confusion in Eretz Yisrael in the end of days. Shemar says, "The pasuk v'bnei charavos nadudu v'en charavos el milchamis because of charavos." It was desolate, and what does it mean? And Charavis means sword, because of swords it was desolate, and the Medrash says Charavis means wars.
Yeah, I think your Eretz means in the land, because of the next place.
Ah, you're right, in the land, not necessarily Eretz Yisrael, in the land, in the world. You're right. Echad Bayar Ba'arav, one in the forest of Arabia. Shenemar Mipnei Cherev Netusha.
That's what's happening right now. Right.
Ve'echar bayam, one in the sea. Shenemar Mipnei Keshes Trucha. That's what's going to happen when they try to break the Israeli blockade of Gaza, Meretz Hashem, when there's going to be a war in the sea with the navy. The echad bekrach gadol shebaroimi shu kovid mishneim, and one is going to be in the great walled city of Rome, which is going to be the heaviest of more heavy than those
Rome
two wars.
In Europe right now they're fighting the Muslims and the Christians.
Yeah, shneimer and says the pasuk v'nei kovid milchama because of the seriousness of the gravity of the war. Misham ben David Yitzvach, and from that Ben David Mashiach is going to grow. V'yira ba'abdan shel elu ve'elu, and he's going to see the destruction of these and those. Misham yover the Eretz Yisrael, and from there he's going to come to Eretz Yisrael. Shneimer it says in the pasuk, mi ze ba mi edoim chomos v'regan mi basra. Who is this coming from the land of Edoim? The one with the silk clothes from Basra. Ze hador bilvushay. This one who's glorified in his clothing. Tzayev rev kaychay. Ani medaber bitztoko. Ani medaber bitztoko. Rav lahishya. It is. I am speaking to you with with tzedakah, with righteousness, and there's going to be a lot of salvation.
So what's that tzoya over here?
Tzoya b'rayv kaycha. I don't know. I didn't touch it because I don't remember exactly how it fits in. Chazal understand that this pasuk is talking about the satan, but the manish over here is explaining that it's talking about Ben David. Mashiach is going to come from after the destruction of Rome. He's going to come and he's going to bring
about Mashiach. They already had that word.
May all of this happen speedily and in our days, and we should be saved from Chelei Mashiach, and we should be zeichet to see the Binyan Beis Hamikdash.
I mean, the war see happened already, because when you had the war between the Turks,
the flotilla.
In the First World War, and the Turks are fighting the Russians. There's a lot of wars at sea also in the navy between the Turks and the Russians.
Yeah,
and the Russians are representing Esav and the Turks Yishmael, even though they're not from the descendants. But the Christians are called Esav and Yishmael, and the Arab and the Muslims are called Yishmael.
Well, like what we said from the Barbanel in Perek Chav Ches.
Yeah.
Remember we said that?
They had a war at sea in the First World War. They had a massive navy war, you know, that the Russians and the Turks.
The Crimean War? Was that something else? I don't know.
I'm not sure, but you know, but they tried to take over Eretz Yisrael for the Turks. None of them won it. And, you know, then the English people got it. But they had a big war between land and at sea.
Okay.
So I would say that all this came true already.
Oh, Baruch Hashem. So now we're just waiting for the last part.
Yeah, I'm sure about that.